Town Board meeting of Monday, February 9th, 2026, to order. And then we'll do the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Number three is act on minutes of the January 12th, 2026 board meeting is printed.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as printed.
I'll second that.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Approve the minutes. Okay, act on January treasurer's reports.
Secondary issue of problem, yeah. I'll make a motion to accept the treasurer's report as printed.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Review and approve bills submitted for payment. There's a couple of things on there that I talked about. That return check fee was for what?
He had closed his account, but he didn't know why he said.
About, so. Otherwise, that's it, I guess.
What we got?
I want to talk to them about that Rib Lake True Value bill, because I know about everything on there, but I don't understand what they got at U.S.
Well, was the only one you had questions on?
Yeah, that and $10 one, but she's taken care of that. That minus $10. He's gonna issue us a check back.
Okay. I'll make a motion we pay bills 11701.
Okay. Next thing we got is update from Greenlight Meadows on progress at Ben's.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Do we want to dim the lights here a little bit so people can see the board a little better? That looks good.
Everybody see it?
Yes.
All right, so thank you for allowing me to come in and talk to the town board. As you will recall, I was here with a couple other folks from Greenlight Meadows about a year ago to this day to give you kind of an introduction to Greenlight Meadows and talk about the drilling that at that time we were planning out at the Bend site in the Shawamigan National Forest. So today I'm gonna recap a little bit of the information we presented last year just to kind of bring everybody back up to speed, and then talk about the results from our drill program last summer and what the plans are coming up for this year for additional drilling out at the Bend site. I always tell folks from the public that just because we're drilling doesn't mean that we're going to be developing a mine out there in a year or 2 years. It's going to take us time to drill out this site and see if it's economically viable. And as we're doing that, we're going to be doing other work in the state. So we're years away from being at the point where we would actually start the permitting process with the DNR and the federal government on an actual mine out there. So that gives us a lot of time between now and then to engage with public town boards. We met with the county board. We've done some open houses where we invite the public in to present what we're doing, what we know, give people an opportunity to ask us questions about what the process looks like, what a mine looks like, whatever's on your mind. We want to hear that stuff because we're then able to take that into account with regards to the activities that are taking place out there. So to recap, why are we exploring for these types of metals? So at Bend, it's a known copper resource. It also has good economic grades of, we're very reliant on foreign sources for many, many critical metals. So copper is a critical metal at the US federal government stage. We get most of our copper from foreign sources. And you also hear about rare earth elements. Rare earth elements are primarily coming from China these days. So all of these metals are critical for our economy, just the basic economy, healthcare, infrastructure, the electric grid, et cetera. And when we start looking at other needs that we are going to face as a society, electric vehicles use a lot of copper. If we're talking about data centers and building out the electric grid for that aspect of the economy that's going to grow, we need more copper. Recycling is good. We want to recycle it. So again, it's very fundamental to clean energy technologies. AI defense needs are further increasing. And that's driving the need for all of this exploration that is taking place around the country. What we refer to as Wisconsin's Pinocchian Volcanic Belt is the fluids and the materials that settled out on the ocean floor that provides these critical metals such as copper, zinc, gold, silver, and potentially tellurium. We may have mentioned that last year. Most people haven't heard of tellurium. So we as a country, and as a state, and as a society, as a community, we need to be looking at the exploration and the development of these metals. We need to do it in a way that's economic, and we need to do it in a way that's environmentally protective and sustainable. And so sustainable development of these minerals is what our guiding principle is about, whether it's at Wisconsin. Current projects that we're looking at are four, and they're shown on this map here. And we refer to those as Lobo and Lobo East, which is located over here in the southeastern part of Oneida County. We have another gold copper resource. It's on private land, private minerals that we lease, that's referred to as Reef. And that is located east of Wausau. And then the one local here in Taylor County is what's referred to as Bend. And as many of you know, there was historic drilling at Bend. We are accumulating that data. We've got access to that data, and we're building off of the exploration work that was historically done at this deposit. I mentioned sustainable operations. Our commitment to all communities is to provide critical metals necessary for low-carbon green energy, securing the U.S. supply chain, and bolstering the resiliency of local, state, and the national economy. We're going to do that by focusing on enduring benefits that flow to the local communities that extend beyond one mineral deposit. So if the system, fostering business entrepreneurship. So any mine is going to have a lot of services that are provided to that operation. And we want those to come from the local economy. So we will develop programs to foster business entrepreneurship that can provide those services to the economy. It's all 80 to 85% would come from the local area. So northern Wisconsin, this area around Medford and Westboro. And that's if we get to the point where we actually develop a mine. We don't know if we're there yet. We want to produce critical metals that are consistent with Wisconsin's labor environmental stewardship and public transparency. So we want input from diverse local communities, whether it's the business community or if it's an environmental community that has concerns about the project. We want to hear from everybody so that we can take that into account on how we actually design a project when we get to that point. Our policy is to have an open door. So the project is located in this area right here in green. And this little yellow area that you see there, about 600, 700 acres, that's the area that we're targeting for doing the exploration drilling activity. I mentioned that we completed one drill program this past summer. And to do that, this is the forest road right here. We developed a little trail system that went in and accessed these little gray areas, which were the drill pads that we cleared the ground and set the drill equipment up on. All of this activity that we did last summer, all this drilling activity, was fully permitted by the Wisconsin. The geologists that were doing the work welcomed them into the site and took whatever questions that they wanted to ask. So that program was completed in about 12 weeks, or it was planned for 12 weeks. We completed it in about 10 weeks. There was over 7,000 feet of permitted drilling. The project completed about 6,700 feet of drilling. It was at three sites and six holes that were drilled. We were permitted for eight. We only drilled six of them. We had an authorization to disturb up to about 0.64 acres as part of that activity. The total disturbance was about 0.3 acres. Here's a couple photos of the drilling operation. So coming off of the forest road, we put down drill mats. These are heavy-duty industrial mats that heavy equipment can drive over to prevent rutting and stuff like that of the forest surface. This is the actual drill rig. So the crews are out there drilling. They're going 24 hours a day, so there's a couple crews they trade off. And that drilling operation goes 24 hours a day. It's not that big of a rig. It's like a half-size semi-trailer with the drilling equipment in there, and it drills at an angle. Most water wells, you're drilling vertically, so you'll see the drill tower sticking straight up. Here, if you went out to the site, you would see the drill tower right here, and it's going down at an angle. And you'll see why we do that in a moment. This is a picture of the geologist logging the exploration core. So as that exploration core comes out of the core barrel, it's broken up, it's put into these boxes, and then the geologists take it back to the core facility. We have to abandon the boreholes, which means got to stick a rod down to the bottom and pump cement down to the bottom of the hole and fill it up from the bottom as we're pulling that drill rod out. And the steel casing then eventually comes out. And then we have to reclaim the entire site. So we have to regrade it, put topsoil back on, and then revegetate it. All of those activities are bonded. So before we do any drilling, we have to post financial assurance to the DNR. And that financial assurance stays in place for at least a year until the DNR certifies that the site's fully reclaimed and stabilized. So with this drill program, I mentioned we do the assays on the core. And here we've got a picture of this very colorful looking rock. And what you see in there is these little veins of where the copper mineralization is. So here's a picture of the cut core that gets sent out to the lab for assay. And we did get very positive results out of this drilling this last summer. So we were testing other areas of the potential deposit that hadn't been explored before. And we were finding very good mineralization in these previously unexplored areas. So significant copper, rich massive sulfide mineralization in three holes 3 through 5. We identified a mineralized trend that was extending to the east of the main deposit area. So that main deposit area was the area that had previously been explored. So what that's saying is we're extending the known extent of mineralization. That's what we want to see when we're holes. And all of this colored stuff is different strata of rock. I mentioned that this was a volcanic system, so it's different types of volcanic sediments that had been built up on the ocean floor. And then this whole thing was turned on its side due to things like plate tectonic type stuff, okay? And what we're interested in here is this kind of reddish purplish zone right there. That's the area where we see the really good concentration. Only is where the mineralization is. So that's what we're targeting with the drilling. Throughout the duration of the drill program last summer, it was visited by lots of people. So a lot of people were interested in it. And here you see some of the environmental group that's formed called Friends of the Yellow River. And they were on site numerous times. And then local government, tribal people also showed up. And anytime someone showed up, the drill crew, the geologists that were out there, they would welcome them into the drilling operation, show them how the equipment worked, how things were being performed, and show them the core and answer whatever questions they had. Here, this picture on the right is when the DNR was on site. And this picture on the left is a group of local Native Americans that came to the site under the banner of a protest. And we said, why don't you come on in and we'll show you what we're doing. And we spent about 4 hours with them, just taking questions, showing them around. It was a very cordial conversation. Focus on reclamation activities. So once we get done with the drilling, we have to reclaim the site. So that photo I showed you earlier with the drill mats that were laid down, this is what the area looked like immediately after we removed the drill mats and regraded the area prior to seeding and revegetation. So this, again, this is an actual drill site. You see a pipe that's still sticking up in the ground, and that pipe, we didn't fully abandon that hole because we came back and we slide instrumentation down that hole, exploration activities. So based on the positive results, the company was able to raise about $11 million in additional cash, people that invested in the company. And that's what we're using now to fund the next stage of exploration at this particular deposit. To the site to do additional drilling on this blue little square box. And that'll be starting, the equipment will probably be coming in later this week. So in order to do that, we had to go back to the DNR and get more drill permits. And we had to go back to the Forest Service and get an additional authorization to do additional drilling. All of that stuff just came in as of today. We got the final authorization from the U.S. Forest Service. We got the DNR permits about 2 weeks ago. And so the equipment to do the additional drilling on this block will be going to the site this week and anticipate that those drill rigs will be up and running maybe this weekend or sometime early part of next week. We hope to get the drilling on this block done before the frost starts coming out of the ground. Now, we also have these other areas, this area outlined in green, and this area up in here, and this area up in here, where we also want to do some additional drilling. In order to do that, we have to get the same series of permits from the DNR. But with the Forest Service and the federal government, we have to get a different type of permit. And that's because the minerals we're drilling into in these three areas are federal minerals. The minerals underneath the ground here are private. They're with Sioux Line and we lease those. So because we're going to be drilling into federal minerals, we have to go through a different permitting process. We expect that that process will be completed, I'm going to say April, and we'll be back out there probably in May to drill these three areas. Yes.
Can you, just with your finger, I can't see where the river is on there in relation.
Yeah, it doesn't show up real well here, but it's, I probably have to take my lens. It's basically going up through and around like this. So I think this area right here is actually on the other side of the river.
It would be on the
north side.
West side of the
yeah.
river?
Permit before you can enter those. So that's kind of where we're at. We're still drilling. Once we get done with this, other activities that the company's looking at is to do some airborne geophysics in areas around this area so we can look at additional drill programs in the future. So we're still in the early stages. What we would likely do, it's not a guarantee, but what we would likely do is once we finish this drilling and we get all the data in and we're able to put it into databases and import and see it. We could also provide it in hard copy format for you if people would prefer that. But it'll have a lot of technical data, it'll have a lot of geologic models in there and all that type of stuff, but if you're into rocks and that type of stuff, you'll find it interesting.
Is it okay if I ask a few more questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
So full disclosure, I worked for the Forest Service for 35 years.
Sure.
I've written biological evaluations for previous drilling.
Uh-huh.
On the mine, I worked here as a wildlife biologist from about 1990 to 2011. So.
Yeah, sure.
I'm well familiar with the site.
Yeah.
I've been to the drilling rigs. I know what that's all about. How are you looking to access the area that's going to be on that north side of the Yellow River? Is there established roads? Is there going to be new road building? How is that going to happen?
Well, I always say that we're not building roads because people think when you're building roads, you're actually bringing gravel in and stuff.
I know
yep. So. What we're doing with any of these things, we'll be coming off the road right about here. Yep. And all we're really doing is taking out a few trees, as you know, under the approval of the Forest Service. So any tree we cut down, we take that out. And we're building kind of an initial trail into these areas where we can set up the drill rig.
Are you going to map that the whole way?
If we're doing, this would be done in the summer, so we would be matting that, yes.
Yeah, okay, yep. It's going to be a lot of mats.
Yep. Which is pretty routine for a lot of projects. Now, if you went back 30 years, a lot of people weren't doing that, but
yeah.
It's no, just
there,
the way.
There wasn't mats back
yeah.
when
yeah.
the first time when I was, whichever company it was at the time.
True. Yeah.
The water level in the Yellow River, I know you guys take water from the Yellow River to the drilling. What is there in the permit that maintains a minimum flow in the Yellow River to protect, you know, mussels and whatever other aquatic life there is?
Well, there's actually a fair amount of, I don't know if there's a limitation on flow that we have to comply with, but we are looking at the flow in the river. Last summer, there was pretty decent flow through the river. So when we took the water out, we weren't affecting the water level or anything like that. It's actually a pretty small volume of water that we're actually using for the drill programs. But we will be looking at those issues. I know some folks have a concern this winter that there could be very little flow in the river because of how cold it's been, the thickness of the ice. My experience, I actually live on a river, is that even with those thick ice sheets that you see on the river, and you can get some pretty thick ice there, there's still flow underneath that ice.
So there's no minimum flow, though, that's mentioned in terms of you can take water out as long as there's this kind of...
Not that I know of. I'd have to look at the fine print in the permit, but I don't believe that's in there. But if we think it's going to be challenging to get water out of here, or we think it's going to have any harm, we can go to other sources of water. There's a reservoir a little further down stream, or we could come into town and just go to a local fire hydrant or contact the fire department and get water that way, which I've seen done. Mm-hmm. So we will be looking at that, and rest assured, we're not, you know, we don't want to do anything that is going to upset people or cause any type of harm. And if we think that there's going to be a concern there, then we'll go to a different water source for that.
And then drilling, I don't think is really a concern, but if there were to be a mine, what kind of protections are there going to be for Indian Farm? It's a really significant cultural resource. I'm sure that, you know, the tribes have talked to you about it.
Yeah, so what we see here, and that farm is
it's close to the Yellow River.
Yeah, and what we see here is if we develop a mine there, it might be about 100 acres in disturbance that we would need to mine that. What we would like to do is process the ore from this type of a deposit at a regional mill facility. So instead of wherever we find mineralization that we want to mine, instead of putting a mill there, which means you got to put a tailings facility there, which increases the footprint of the operation, all we do here is mine. And we take that ore and we transport it to a railhead, and then that gets shipped to a mill that's constructed along a rail line. So it's not out in the middle of the national forest. And I've worked on projects that have done that. And the footprint for an underground development then is pretty small. It's about maybe 100 acres.
And so environmentally, you know, that's on the plus side in terms of less disturbance. But wouldn't that mean a lot less jobs, too, for the area if you're shipping off most of this?
Well, we're looking at it we wouldn't be shipping it out of state, so we would keep that mill operation in state. Now, we haven't identified where that mill would go, but it would be in one of the counties in this area. So in aggregate, you would have the same labor force for the operation. It would just be spread out a little bit. One of the beauties of doing that is if you get a regional mill set up, you can then process ore from multiple mines at one centralized location, and so you're not putting those mills and tailings facilities at every mine site. Makes it much more controllable.
Yeah. That was a very well put in road before.
Mm. That the one was just on the south side of the river?
What's that?
The one on just the south side of the river?
It would be on the north side of the river.
Oh, on the north side.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good log landing there. They had a lot of logs in there, and then it was a gravel road in there.
So one of the things that we'll have to look at and why you negotiate a local agreement is before we even get to permitting, we're going to be doing engineering studies on different ways, different alternatives to develop this. And it's not required by the state, but it is required by the financial exchanges. And we start out with what's called a preliminary engineering assessment. And that's a high-level examination of how would you develop the mine, what kind of production rate, what types of transportation improvements might be needed for it. All that, what kind of power, every facet of the project is evaluated, as well as the economics, the tax payments to state government, local government, employment taxes, all that type of stuff. So it's a very exhaustive analysis of the operation. And we look at various alternatives, and it provides us kind of a snapshot of how this project would need to be engineered. You don't stop there, and that's not what you then take into permitting. You then take the results of that study and you do a more refined and higher level of engineering analysis on that in a study that's called a pre-feasibility study. And it's a very exhaustive study, which looks at all of the capital expenditures, operating expenditures, labor force, what you're going to pay the labor force, all of that type of stuff, all the transportation requirements, everything soup to nuts. And when we're going through those studies, we want to be coming in and talking to you and other local units of government, because I think your input is going to be important, and we want to factor that in. But we go through those engineering evaluations to get to a point where we believe we have a mine plan that can be permitted. And part of those studies, which we do before we ever get into the permitting process, is to look at all the environmental regulations at state level, local level, federal level, and design the project to meet all those environmental requirements for how the project's constructed, how it's operated, and then how it's closed, and how it has to be monitored after it closes. So it's a very exhaustive study. Companies wouldn't be in talking to the local community at this stage and factoring that stuff in at an early stage before they got to the permitting process. It would all happen after they got into the permitting process. We don't think that's a good way of doing business, so we want to do a lot of our homework before we get to that point. We'll be out there, as I said, probably next week drilling, and if you want to stop out, you know where it's at. Geologists will be out there. They'll be more than willing to take questions from you, and if anything comes up, you know how to contact me.
Same guys as before.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, yeah.
So if you need something, he'll call.
Yeah, Eric will be out there, yeah. Okay. He's kind of running the whole thing.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your time.
To work at Channel 27. He was the anchor there.
And oh, really?
For Congress.
Oh, wow.
He's the last Republican to serve Madison.
Oh, wow.
That was way up from terms, because I believe in term limits of my own choosing, and he did. He ran for four. Otherwise, he could have had that seat a hell of a lot longer.
Oh, yeah. It's getting there. It's like really wrapped, like it's like folded three ways. It's just those lights are creating crazy lens flares, yeah. But I'll make it work. Yes, yeah, a little dark.